This time on episode 185 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be touching off on Iron Fist, No Gives Way. We're going to be looking at the Marvel news since the last show, and we're going to be touching upon listener feedback.
Hey, I'm Cody from Unqualified Gamers, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Thursday, June 29th, 2017. And to mark this special occasion of a Thursday night Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., two-thirds of the current Starling Tribune podcast hosts are here to welcome Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. to their new recording night.
Yay!
Hello.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, finally tonight on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of incredible battery life.
If you'd like to talk to us about incredible battery life, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to clue us in on incredible battery life patents so then we can market it to Tesla, you can give us a call on our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
If you have stories about battery life, please post them on our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can also share your stories about unbelievably long battery lives on our Twitter account, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you'd like to show us your trademarkable, copyrightable, extended batteries with the extended battery life that even Star-Lord could use, you can show us on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
So question, whose battery life is more impressive? Star-Lord's, Walkman's, or Danny Rand's iPod?
Well, considering we've seen in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 that all that Rocket has to do is spray the spray gun and everything is new again, I think these batteries are more incredible because Raccoon just needs to make new batteries.
Yeah, and you have to admit, it's gone from high altitudes and very cold weather to New York and maybe a metaphysical realm in between. So I'm going to have to give it to the iPod.
Metaphysical realm. You know, this brings up Dr. Strange. We'll get to that in a second. All right. So let's start off with the episode. What we're doing is we're running down the premiere episode of Iron Fist, which was on Netflix. And since we are just starting into it, we're going to tell you a little bit about the cast and the crew before we get into the episode, much like we just did with Legion over on FX a few episodes ago. So I'll start off. The main cast is starring Finn Jones as Danny Rand, who is Iron Fist. Now, for those that might not be completely familiar with Finn Jones's prior work, he does have kind of a medium-sized filmography, but the two most important filmography pieces that I found was that he was indeed in the Sarah Jane Adventures, which is part of the Doctor Who universe, and he was also in Game of Thrones. And if you want to hear all about that, you should go over to Tyrion's Landing, which is our Game of Thrones podcast on the Gunna Geek Network.
And he was recently at Comicpalooza. Though due to a misunderstanding, I was not able to record his and Mike Coulter's panel, but I did live tweet it. And he was a very funny guy.
Did they go shortless, both of them?
No, unfortunately. But yeah, he's also kind of notorious for being sort of the life at the party at Game of Thrones conventions.
No.
It's really nice to have such a fun cast in the Marvelverse.
It is indeed. That's one of the benefits and bonus of Marvel over other entities.
And speaking of Comic Palooza, Jessica Henwick, Colleen Wing in Iron Fist, was also there. She was unable to do the panels because she got there on Sunday, but she was awesome and gorgeous. And she's also from Game of Thrones. She plays Nymeria Sand, and she will be in the upcoming season in at least one episode. We'll see if she's in any more. She was also Jess Pava. She's listed on IMDb as Jess Testor, but her character is actually called Jess Pava in Star Wars The Force Awakens. She's one of the pilots in Black Squadron. She's in a bunch of other movies and games. She's a voice in Dreamfall Chapters. She's on an episode of The Thick of It, which is one of my favorite TV shows ever. If you like Veep on HBO, The Thick of It is the British predecessor to it. Same politics, lots of cussing. If you want to hear the 12th Doctor saying the F word just over and over and over and over again, it's really good. And of course, Jessica Henwick is in it, and she's fantastic. And she's fantastic here. And one of the saving graces of this show for me.
I can guess who the other saving grace is as well.
We'll talk about her later.
Next, we have Tom Pelfrey as Ward Meacham. He's been on Guiding Light and As the World Turns, some soap operas back in the day, and Banshee.
I think his character is, it's more than adequate that it's coming out of the daytime soap operas, just judging by the first episode here. It's definitely got that swing to it. So aptly cast, I think. The next cast member that we have is Jessica Stroop, who plays Joy Meacham. Now, those of you that might know the name and can't place it, well, she was in 90210. She was in The Following. Yes, the Kevin Bacon. Once again, the 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon. This show right here. And she was also in the latest Jack Reacher Never Go Back film. So she has been around to some pretty decent productions.
The two things that I've seen her in before now were Reaper, which was a very short-lived TV show that I liked back in 2007, 2008. And True Blood, she was in the original pilot episode, and she was in one episode in 2008 as a sorority girl.
Yes, yeah, she was actually two different characters in that. I was noticing that. And she was not the sorority girl in the pilot. So she played two characters in the same series. That's great. That's some true Marvel-esque casting right there.
We also have Ramon Rodriguez as Bakuto, who will be showing up in later episodes. His first roles were back in 2005. He was in some episodes of Rescue Me on FX, an episode of Law and Order Special Victims Unit, which I've seen so many episodes of that show. We are Law and Order fans in my family. Daybreak, the TV series, The Wire, which is a fantastic series that I need to just sit down and watch. The Taking of Pelham 123, which is a movie, a remake, I believe. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, which I took my husband to see and then apologized for that because not a good movie. Not a good movie at all. And a TV show called Gang Related. He's a regular on that show, was in 2004.
Most importantly for me, he was in Charlie's Angels. No, not the movie, sorry. The TV series. The new TV series.
There's a new TV series?
There was.
It came and went. Next, we have Sasha Dewan as Davos.
Davos. Pronounced exactly like the character from Game of Thrones and Doctor Who, which a lot of the characters here have connections to. I mean, a lot of the actors.
As Davos?
Davos.
Davos. See, I'm so Midwestern. Been in After Earth, An Adventure in Space and Time, and Sherlock.
An Adventure in Space and Time. That was a great, what would you call it? A biopic? Is it a biopic?
It's sort of a biopic, yeah. Sort of a fictionalization of the first Doctor. He was also in a short-lived show that I liked called In the Flesh, which was a zombie show. He was the voice of Griff Whitehall in the Game of Thrones Telltale game series. Griff Whitehill, I'm sorry. Which, it's a really good series, and it features a lot of people from the show, but because I know everything's going to be terrible, I haven't been able to make myself finish playing it. And he's additional voices in Mass Effect Andromeda, which I also need to finish playing.
Yeah, from what I've heard from Chris, it's not all that it's cracked up to be.
I'm having fun with it.
That's all it's about. It's just having some fun. I do know that the original team that was creating Mass Effect was actually ported off to another game, which is coming out pretty soon. I'm really excited to see that. It's not Afterlife. It's A something, though, right?
Yeah, it's you say that and I blank out on it.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, if you figure it out later, let me know. In the meantime, I have to get to the next actor. It's Rosario Dawson.
Yay! And by the way, that game is Anthem.
Anthem. There you go. Rosario Dawson, I can't believe that I drew the short straw to talk about Claire Temple, the night nurse. And when I was putting the show notes together, I forget every single time that I look at her filmography how much this woman has been in.
82 credits.
Oh my gosh. Some of the credits that I just picked out were Josie and the Pussycats, Men in Black 2, The Adventures of Pluto Nash, Sin City. Yes, for those comic book movie aficionados out there, she was in Sin City, Rent, Clerks 2. She was in a voice actor for Robot Chicken, Gemini Division, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and upcoming, really soon, The Defenders.
And she was also in, if you want to hear her sing, she is in the movie version of Rent. She was in Kids. That was like her first role. She's the voice of Wonder Woman in a lot of the more recent DC animated stuff. And she was Batgirl in the Lego Batman movie and Lego Dimensions. And she's a voice in Dishonored 2, which I just bought in the Steam sale.
Right. So unfortunately, though, for this series, she was recast. She's not playing Claire Temple. I'm just kidding. She's playing Claire Temple. So we get the good night nurse here.
And another good actor, David Wenham, who I really like. He's an Australian actor. You might remember him best as Faramir from the Lord of the Rings movies. I first saw him in Moulin Rouge, where he has this very, very small bit part as the guy that Ewan McGregor replaces as a songwriter in Spectacular, Spectacular. So, and he's completely unrecognizable, and he's wearing this like black wig and white face paint. And anyway, that's him. And he has, God, how many credits? 78 credits. He's in Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. He's in 300 and 300 Rise of an Empire, looking very good in those. He's the narrator for Deadliest Warrior, the TV series. He's in a whole bunch of Baz Luhrmann movies. Like I said, Moulin Rouge, he's in Australia.
He's also in Van Helsing.
Yes, he was Carl the Monk in Van Helsing. And yeah, it's just, he's good in everything he's in.
Between Rosario Dawson and David Wenham, they definitely have the cred behind them in terms of experience and filmography. So you have to say, in comparison to the rest of the cast, these two do take the cake. So we're going to move on now to some reoccurring casts, right, Michelle?
Yes, we have David Furr as Wendell Rand, who's been noted for appearances in 13 Hours and Turn, Washington Spies.
And actually a ton of different bit part acting, too, as well. So just not going to go through all of it since it was onesie twosies with a bunch of different series and stuff like that. So Barrett Doss was Megan as well.
She has not really been in much. She's Eliza Lemon in an episode of 30 Rock in 2013. That was her first role. And an episode of Time After Time this past year. And again, a couple of bit parts, but not much else.
Time After Time was canceled, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. But yeah, like she's just at the beginning of her career.
Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Timeless, by the way, which miraculously got a second season.
Yeah, Time After Time was the one based on the 1970s movie with H.G. Wells and Jack the Ripper. And that lasted for all of about 3 episodes and then was canceled. And Timeless lasted more episodes and it had Matt Lanter, the guy that plays Anakin Skywalker in Clone Wars. And that one lasted more episodes, but I think is still canceled. No, wait, it got brought back.
Jeez, don't cancel it again. That rumor can persist and tear down the whole series. Lord, you got to watch what you say.
Yeah, things that are canceled and uncanceled. And I just found out that Sense8, which was just canceled, is getting, I mean, thanks to fan reaction, it's getting a 2-hour wrap-up movie next year. So I'm very thankful for that because you can't leave it where it is. So
I know a lot of these series do that these days. They just plan on getting another series. And if not, then it's just a big hole in your life. I'm trying to remember the superhero show that was on
Modern Family.
No, it wasn't Modern Family. It was on Sci-Fi. And it lasted 2 seasons and they left on a big cliffhanger and they're never going to go back. So I can't remember the name of it. Anyway. Okay, so who else we got, Lauren?
We got Alex Weiss as Kyle, Harold Meacham's personal assistant. He has 17 credits going back to 2003. He was, I guess, like a performer in that What Would You Do TV series where they get like actors to perform little situations and have bystanders come in and it's What Would You Do? He was also in some episodes of Masters of Sex, an episode of Modern Family. The Bold and the Beautiful, he's been in 43 episodes of that. I guess he's now a cast member on there. And Iron Fist and The Bold and the Beautiful seem to be his big roles.
Then we have Marquis Rodriguez as Daryl. He's a student at Wings Dojo. Rodriguez reprises his role from Luke Cage.
So can't wait to see him again. By the way, the TV show that I can remember from Sci-Fi was called Alphas.
Oh, gosh, I know. And then the second season, it got so good. Oh, my gosh.
You said superheroes, and I was thinking something completely different. If you'd said, like mutants, I would have thought of it.
Well, that's what I was thinking in my mind, but yeah. So it's season two, which I didn't see season two. I stopped at season one, but I know a lot of people really enjoyed season two. Season two ended on a cliffhanger that has everybody that has watched the show really in tears and angry at Sci-Fi for letting them do that. And that is why it's important to come back later and do like a movie like Farscape is a great example where they did the Peacekeeper Wars. So if you have a really engaged fan base to keep them for the future, you should do stuff like that or just not allow the series to end on a cliffhanger like they did with Defiant Season 3. They originally shot that as a cliffhanger, but they said, no, we need to end this in a nice little bow. And so we got a good ending for Defiance. Unlike Stargate Universe, there's another one. Just going to take this tangent right now. Stargate Universe ended on a place where you could have ended it and then brought it back later. They didn't. And just yesterday, Stargate Universe, it's not an approved canon, but Stargate Universe dropped a comic. And so that can continue on your head canon, and I'll be fine with that. So I just did pick up the first issue of that, and I'm looking forward to bringing that forward. So back to the cast here, we have Watching Ho as Gao, which will be back, was not in the first episode, but I'm looking forward to seeing Gao again. This, of course, is the same wonderful woman that was in Daredevil, so can't wait to see Gao again.
We have Ramon Fernandez as Kevin Singleton, who will, yes, be showing up in the future. He has 36 credits, mostly bit parts, and we'll be seeing him in a few episodes.
We have Clifton Davis as Lawrence Wilkins, who will be a member of the RAND Enterprises Board of Directors.
Apparently, we have several members of the board of directors because the next one up is John Sanders, who plays Donald Hooper.
And another member of the board of directors is Elise Santora as Maria Rodriguez. And actually, she was on this past season of Orange is the New Black in an episode.
So when I was listening to the intro, because the series just goes right into it, in the intro, there's no pre-roll at all, no scenes before the intro. There's just the intro, which was an interesting combination of the Daredevil sort of paint that's kind of dripping over everywhere, but in martial art sort of arcs. And it also stank to me, really, of some music that I thought was from somewhere else. The composer, by the way, is Trevor Morris, and he has 65 composer credits going back to 1997. So just really quick, E-Ring, the bridge, Alphas, which we talked about before, actually. Olympus Has Fallen, Ascension, which was a quick 6-hour miniseries on Sci-Fi. London Has Fallen, the next generation Olympus Has Fallen. And Vikings, which is one of Lauren's favorite TV shows.
Dragon Age Inquisition, which has such an incredible soundtrack. It's one of my favorite ones to write to. So I did not realize the person who did Dragon Age Inquisition also did Vikings. So, and is also going to be doing the upcoming, at least the first episode of the upcoming Castlevania TV series. I guess Netflix series. But yeah, no, this is good. This is very good.
I swore I was hearing some Tron Legacy riffs in there. I was like, no, that can't be. And it wasn't, because Trevor doesn't have any credits with Tron Legacy, but it, who knows? He might have actually stolen some of the riffs from there and just added a new twist on his own and included it here in Iron Fist. So that's the composer. Michelle, we actually have a showrunner for this show.
Yes, we do. His name is Scott Buck. In December 2015, Buck was hired to serve as showrunner and executive producer for the Marvel and Netflix television series Iron Fist. Following the series' debut online via streaming, reviews for Iron Fist were predominantly overall negative, with critics calling it easily the worst of the Netflix Marvel shows. Okay, but despite that, in December 2016, it was announced that he would return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe as the showrunner and executive producer for the Marvel, IMAX, Corporation, and ABC television series Inhumans.
We will talk more about that later.
Just remember that name, Scott Buck, as we go through both of these series this year.
Anyway, on to the actual episode.
Yes, the actual episode, the premiere episode of Iron Fist is called Snow Gives Way, and it was directed, Lauren, by?
The director was John Dahl, D-A-H-L, and he has 46 directing credits, most recently this and Ray Donovan. He's also done The Affair, Justified, The Bridge, Outlander, actually some very good episodes of Outlander, The Americans, Vampire Diaries, Arrow, Caprica, True Blood. Yeah. The movie Rounders and Joyride.
Just to quantify, he did one of the good seasons of Arrow, by the way. He did one episode in 2012, so that was one of the good seasons of Arrow. But yeah, Battlestar Galactica, Capricorn, a lot of the great shows that I've been watching over the past 5-10 years, this guy was a part of, and I have to say thank you very much. And I, you know, watching this episode, and we'll get to that in a little bit, I could see some greatness that was intertwined in there. It was just the story... had a little oomph in it. Anyway, Michelle, we actually had a writer for this episode as well.
Yes, it was written by Scott Buck. This explains a lot. Scott has 13 credits since 1991, including 15 of Coach, 1 of Everyone Loves Raymond, 7 of 6 Feet Under, I like that show, 2 Rome, 18 Dexter, 3 Iron Fist, and 1 Inhumans, because... as we said, he's the showrunner for this show and Inhuman.
No, wait a minute.
He actually wrote 2 of the, like, best, I think, episodes of Rome Season 2. How? Like, these being the words of Marcus Tullius Cicero and Death Mask are objectively good episodes. Wait, I think those are Season 1.
In any event, Coach, 15 episodes of Coach. An episode of Everyone Loves Raymond. Sitcoms, folks. Sitcoms. 6 Feet Under. Another comedic show. And then these great episodes of Rome. That must have been his greatness within him. And he moves on to Dexter as the showrunner for Dexter. That was his big jump up. He did produce stuff before Dexter, but Dexter was his first executive production job. And then Iron Fist and Inhumans. So there's definitely a quick ramp up in the middle of his career from...
wait, he just didn't write Dexter. He was a producer?
Indeed. He was the showrunner, I believe, for Dexter.
He had lunch with the right person.
I think so. That's what I was getting at. In the middle of his career, his filmography just shoots up. And it's, what did this guy do? So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he was great all along and somebody finally just said, hey, look. But unfortunately, I think the reviews for Iron Fist and the potential reviews that we're seeing for Inhumans. I don't know about this greatness thing anymore. I don't know. Maybe he started to outsource some of his production. I don't know. In any event, that was the writer for this episode was Scott Buck, who oftentimes the showrunner is involved either in the direction or the writing or both of the premiere episode. So I'm not surprised, but at the same time, it starts to make things fall into place and make sense. All right. Snow gives way. Anybody want to give me any idea of what exactly Snow Gives Way means?
Okay, so I looked up the episode titles back when they were first announced, and most of them are the names of various kung fu forms, like actual techniques and stuff. I was looking for this one. I downloaded a book about Shaolin Kung Fu, and I couldn't find it in there. So like every variation of Google search that I do for Snow Gives Way gives me this episode. Presumably it's supposed to be some form of, and I was hoping, I was like, okay, well, back when I was first thinking, I was like, okay, well, I can see, you know, if it's like a defensive technique or if it's like, if it leads into something else or no, I can't find anything. I found a bunch of the others, but not this one.
I was thinking that since he's coming down from the snowy mountains, that the snow gives way to him coming to New York.
Kind of like an avalanche?
No, like the snow parts or something.
Did you just call Danny Rand a snowflake?
Yes. Okay, so, okay, the way that kung fu techniques are named, it's they're all inspired by nature. Your movements are inspired by nature. I was looking at a bunch of fan techniques earlier because they're beautiful. And there's like waving from horseback and it's, you know, like that. So Snow Gives Way would presumably be, I'm not sure if it would be like going with the snow or parting the snow or inspired by an avalanche or like if I could see the move, I could understand it better. If I could see somebody describing how to do the move, I could understand the naming better. So I have never taken kung fu. I took Tai Chi for a little while, which is essentially slowed down kung fu. But this is all from a very amateur enthusiast's perspective. But it would be something inspired by nature. And it would be, yeah, just keep that in mind whenever you see anything with a kung fu technique name. Kung fu is inspired by nature.
So this episode in its totality wasn't confusing like Legion was to me at all. I pretty much got what was going on along the way, but Danny's a little screwed up and not sure quite how. I don't know where he came from. There's a lot of questions that still need to be answered, but I think it was getting the pacing of the episode as it goes along. The whole Danny going nuts in the car with Ward, it set some things in motion that weren't necessary, but I guess in the grand scheme of things, I would be proven wrong in that. I don't know. This is the only episode that I've seen of the series.
Danny's an idiot.
Danny's a jerk. I'm sorry. Okay, so here's the thing. He walks into the office building. He's like in rags and no shoes. And he's like, yeah, I want to see so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And then the security comes and is like, can you leave? And I'm like going, that company has every single right to kick you out. They have no idea who you are. And you're just a jerk breaking into people's houses and stuff like that. I do not like him.
Okay. This is basically entitled White Boy, the episode. You'd think that he's been living the last 15 years in essentially a kung fu martial arts academy. So you'd think that some of those teachings, especially because he goes off and spouts it like, you know, he just spent a summer abroad, you'd think some of that would have settled in. And no, he's basically, you could understand this behavior from somebody like, he's like, oh, my dad used to take us to the Hamptons and stuff like that. You'd understand the whole, do you know who I am thing from somebody who's been living like that his entire life. The whole, you know, going in feeling very entitled. Why aren't you talking to me? Breaking into people's houses, breaking into people's cars. Not understanding how threatening he's being. But again, this is one of my many, many problems with this series. Speaking of which, just real quick, want to address this and then let's just get it out of the way now. technically, the show is not whitewashing Danny Rand. Danny Rand was a white guy in the comics. However, the problem is that Iron Fist was a product of its time in that it was inspired by the show Kung Fu. Kung Fu was originally written as a vehicle for Bruce Lee, and he was written out of it because he was Asian. They cast a white guy instead and then made sort of put him in yellow face for it. And this kind of continues that proud tradition of Orientalism and white savior complex. There was the opportunity there that the fans saw for them to do something a little different with it. Marvel did not take it. Fans, especially Asian fans, minority fans, were understandably upset. However, that is not whitewashing is when you take a character who is another race and make them white. So but now that that's out of the way, they could have done a lot with the concept of entitled white boy, but Danny is never shown to be wrong.
Exactly. That's a big point. Because here's the thing, like, SP and I talk about Arrow, and Oliver was gone for 5 years, but he was 20 years old, and he comes back 25. You can go, hey, that's Oliver. Danny went missing when he was 10. It's been 15 years. You don't look the same when you're 10 as when you're 25.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I just cannot comprehend why he is just so, I'm coming in here and I have answers. And like at some point, he's doing like this meditative stuff in the park and he seems to know everything. But then he goes and he talks to Joy and then he's like, I want answers about things. And it's like, plane crash. There you go. Your parents died in a plane crash. You were raised in some sort of mystical place. Why are you surprised people do not recognize you? Do not go, oh, hi, Danny, and just give you a big hug.
When he gets in the car, he's like, oh, I sort of remember this from when my dad let me drive around our place at the Hamptons. He remembers that, but he can't remember that walking around homeless in, you know, clothes like that in New York is going to make people treat you different. I mean, this is me making an incredulous face right now for those who are listening and not watching. This is me judging.
Danny is a little bit off his rocker, yep, because there's no way to verify what he's saying. He admits that there's no way to verify what he's saying. He's being a little bit stupid about how he's progressing with things. Although, in his defense, he doesn't know that his uncle is this mad, supposed to be dead dude locked away behind 20 different layers of security. He doesn't know that. At least I don't think so at this point in time. It'd be difficult for me to infer that with what's going on. So he doesn't know that Harold's locked away. And so he's not playing with a full deck, but at the same time, he's making stupid mistakes like the whole car thing. He can now be arrested for Grand Theft Auto, for destruction of property, and
for kidnapping and assault.
Right. And then the whole thing where he goes to Joy and then drinks tea and notices, or at least I did, that she wasn't drinking any of the tea. Dude, don't drink it. You're going to get drugged. And that's exactly what happened. It was the worst tip off ever. I'm like, don't drink the tea, dude. And he does.
Again, Danny is an idiot. And spoiler, it doesn't get any better. Saving grace of the episode for me, Colleen Wing. We see her. She's teaching kendo. Colleen in the comics is half Japanese, and her father, I believe, made swords. And she is very much following in his footsteps, trying to do, you know, the warrior code. And here we see her as a kendo master, and she's running her own kendo school. So we see Danny come in there. He's like, but have you thought about kung fu? And she's like, no, I teach kendo, and I don't like you, and you are weird. And then he won't leave her alone. Yeah. And again, it's like entitled white boy, the syndrome right here. He just won't leave her alone. He's not taking the hint. She feels a little bit sorry for him. And then now he's just stuck to her forever.
Stalker.
Yes, he is.
I figured out what his problem was. He got the shoes from Colleen and he didn't pee in them. So every bad thing that happens for the rest of the series is because he didn't pee in the shoes.
Yes, he should have peed in the shoes.
All right, Michelle, what else you got to this Redduff conversation?
Look, this is one of the worst pilots or first episodes of a series I have seen in a very long time. It was a lot of just people talking, you know, Danny going, I'm Danny. What about this guy named Danny? He claims to be Danny. Oh my goodness. Danny, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay. And okay, there was a little bit of fighting, but I'm like, dude, you shouldn't be doing this anyway. So I'm still trying to figure out why they thought Iron Fist should be made into a series. And if you're like, oh, he's part of the Defenders, here's the thing. In Avengers, yes, a lot of the Avengers had their own solo movie first, but Black Widow didn't. So it's not like every member of the team needs to have their own solo thing first. So I am still trying to figure out, just from this first episode, why should I even go further?
The first time I'd ever heard of Iron Fist the character was back in the early 2000s when Ray Park, who played Darth Maul in Star Wars Episode One, was in talks to be cast as him in a movie. And that never happened. And that actually could have been cool because Ray Park actually has been training in Kung Fu. I forget which form, but he's been training in Kung Fu since he was a kid. So he could have, I mean, if you ever watch Ray Park do martial arts, he could have pulled this off. I wouldn't have had more of a problem with the casting if they had actually cast a martial artist. These fights were boring. And the thing is, it should not be boring. If you've ever seen like Kung Fu Hustle or Shaolin Soccer or any like actually good, well choreographed Kung Fu movie, any Stephen Chow movie, look, just watch any Stephen Chow movie. It should be good. It should be beautiful. It should be just enrapturing to watch. And this was so boring and slow. And
it was fluid, but it was slow and it wasn't beautiful. It was just like motion that was continuing motion.
Watch Kung Fu Hustle. It's funny. The action is fantastic. You get a variety of different forms of Kung Fu and it's fun. If you want a good Kung Fu movie, watch Kung Fu Hustle and then Shaolin Soccer. But first, Kung Fu Hustle.
Fun like Jackie Chan fun?
It's Stephen Chow fun. Jackie Chan is fantastic, but his martial arts are different.
Okay.
Okay.
By the way, we got a feedback on Twitter while we're recording right here. And Felix Smittick said, hey, SP, snow gives way may be seen as, quote, water yields, unquote. So, Lauren, you'll have to look into your kung fu moves for water yields and see if that yields anything. So this episode was a lot of setup. It was a lot of moving from place to place. I think the biggest surprise in the episode was to see that Harold was alive. But since he died at 41, I suspected something was up with that as well. It's very poor tells going on in this episode, and it's all a bunch of tropes, honestly, and it's easily discernible what's going on, at least for me. But this is the first time I've watched it. I haven't dissected it, and I honestly am probably a little biased for everything I've heard of it. I tried to go in it with an open mind, but after watching it, kind of see where everybody is looking at there. So Michelle, as we start winding down this discussion, is there anything else that you want to make sure that you say about the episode?
I find it interesting that he still has that iPod.
Yeah, I did like that they were playing Outkast, and that song was actually released in 2001, which is when his plane crash would have been. Unfortunately, that was one of the few most interesting things.
Yeah. One of the things that I was thinking about while I was watching this episode is, I can't remember if this came out before Doctor Strange or afterwards, but I'm thinking if this is some sort of mystical universe thing that's going on with Danny Rand or wherever he's been, I would think that Doctor Strange would sense that.
So Doctor Strange came out October 20th, 2016, and Iron Fist came out on March 17th, 2017. So Doctor Strange came out first.
So Doctor Strange is around in New York.
Yeah, but he's too busy for this.
And actually, there is a reference to Doctor Strange here, sort of, very indirectly. Big Al, the homeless guy that Danny's hanging out with, says that he got him a sandwich from Bleecker Street. The Sanctum Sanctorum is on Bleecker Street. And actually, when I was in New York this past April, we went to Bleecker Street and found where the Sanctum Sanctorum should be. So that was fun.
Right. So I was just thinking, and I know like the Avengers, the bigger superheroes are dealing with bigger issues, but still I would think that there would be some sensing of this mystical energy, especially with what's happened to date so far with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and Daredevil itself. So I am a little scratching my head at this. Obviously, we're trying to pare it down, but as soon as you open up that mysticism door, which apparently is coming our way, I don't know, in Iron Fist, then you open up the door to sensing from Scarlet Witch or Doctor Strange or something like that. So I guess I'm having a little bit of problem of the dichotomy of the universe as well. But again, we'll see where this goes. Don't know exactly. We haven't seen Gao yet. I have no idea where this is going to end up. And of course, we know that Defenders are coming. So it takes a little bit of the guessing game out that Danny Rand's not going to make it through.
Seriously, all of the other shows have had really good pilots that catch you and draw you in. And this one was just... And it's a shame because I really like Finn Jones. He was really good as Sir Loras on Game of Thrones. He's so funny and charming when you go to conventions with him. And this was just, I mean, of course we're going to watch the rest of the series, and I've already seen it, so I know what to expect. I'm hoping it'll be better this time through, but I'm not having high hopes.
You have bourbon.
I don't have high hopes, but I have bourbon. But Scott Buck, why?
Okay. So we'll get to the rest of the series when we get to it. Oh, by the way, this is the time of the episode where we usually get to quotes, and Haley is usually with us. And I know Haley wasn't with us last episode, and I swore up and down that she was going to be with us. Well, guess what? I'm sorry. Work took her away, and that is why Michelle is with us. And Michelle doesn't have quotes, so we're just not going to do quotes this week. So with that, last words on the episode for good. What do you got, Michelle?
I'm good. I said my piece.
Okay. Lauren, I think you've said your piece as well.
Yes, I have.
And I have said my piece. And a lot of other people on the network have said their piece on a lot of different issues. And one of the great things about the network is we have gotten some new shows on the network right now, including this great new show called Head in the Cloud. And recently, John became part of the network and released a couple of episodes. First, the episode was episode 9 of Head in the Cloud, The Different Colors of Security. So this is a cloud security, so a tech podcast. And in episode 9, John discusses black, white, red, blue, gray, and purple. All colors, right? So many colors in security, but what do they all mean? John takes a look at each and explains how they relate to information security. So check that out at GunnaGeek.com. Ladies, are you ready to move on to the news?
Ready.
On this Thursday, June 29, 2017, we have assembled a montage of news for you, starting with another Scott Buck production, The Inhumans. What does that first trailer look like?
Crap.
Yeah. I'm going to elaborate. First off, ABC, I don't really care about the whole IMAX thing because they're making the big deal about IMAX. Here's the thing. If it's filmed on a paper bag, I don't care. You know, whatever it's filmed on, it needs to be a good story. And I have no idea. I guess these people are on the moon. I don't know how they could have been on the moon all this time. But then there's a bunch of Inhumans, but they're, I guess, some sort of base or something because there's trees and there's a whole bunch of people. And then there's the guy who played Bolton, the bad Bolton kid from Game of Thrones going, "We need our freedom. And my brother needs to be not the king anymore." And then there's, I know Medusa, because only from pictures, in her really bad wig. And really, the only good thing about this was the dog, Lockjaw. because he teleports and then he's just adorable. But I have no clue. The only reason why I know who these people are is because I'm a comic book person and we've been talking about this. If you were my mom, you'd be like, who, the what, huh? Who cares?
Yeah, I saw this morning when I woke up, oh, the new Inhumans trailer is leaked. And I said, oh, cool. And I clicked on it. And then I said, oh, no. Medusa still looks terrible. Anson Mount, you are better than this. What are you doing? Again, Lockjaw is about the best part of it. Ewan Rian, I mean, he's doing a good job villaining it up because he is good at villaining it up. But it does nothing for people who don't know what the Inhumans and the Inhuman royal family is. And it looks so bad, you guys. It looks so bad. I don't think this show is going to last. I would always like to be pleasantly surprised, but I don't think this is going to last.
Do you think it's going to get canceled early?
I mean, maybe. We'll have to see.
There's 8 episodes, and I guess they've already shot them, so we'll get the 8 episodes.
Well, NBC, ABC, and they all have been canceling shows and not showing the rest of them. Powerless, this is a good example, right? So Powerless was out and they didn't show the last 2 episodes until Adam West passed away. And then they had to show the last episode because it had Adam West in it.
Yeah, but you know, what really upsets me is that this looks like a poor production in Hawaii. But then you had Agent Carter, which looked stylish and it had a lot of fun and, you know, from the trailers and everything. And this doesn't look like there's like a fun part of it.
The impression that I have for a relatively new entrant into the Marvel comic universe is that Marvel created Inhumans because they didn't have control of the mutants. I know that's not true, but that's what the perception is. So if that's the perception that you've given people, and then you are intertwining the Inhumans into the TV universe, you have to compete with what Fox and everybody else is doing with the actual mutant rights. And if they don't measure up, then people are going to be like, what the heck is this? And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is already suffering. They have canceled Agent Carter. I think ABC needs to pay a little bit more attention to their TV, their small screen universe. Not necessarily Netflix. I know we just discussed how Iron Fist was kind of a debacle, but you had 4 other great series leading up to it. And Defenders is probably going to be good too. So I'll give them a pass on Iron Fist, and I have to see the rest of it yet. But the TV universe could be better. And if this tanks, well, I fear for the future of Marvel on the small screen.
This does not fill me with any sort of confidence.
You know what should fill you with confidence? Web shooters.
This is true.
So what do we got for Spider-Man Homecoming?
Tom Holland has confirmed that Peter Parker appeared in Spider-Man 2.
You mean Peter Parker appeared in Iron Man 2?
Iron Man 2, yes. He will, of course, appear in Spider-Man 2, assuming there is one. But you remember that little kid with the Iron Man helmet that almost gets shot by one of the Hameroid drones?
Yep.
Apparently, that was Peter Parker. And yeah, Holland says, I can confirm that as of today. I literally had a conversation with Kevin Feige only 20 minutes ago. Maybe I've just done a big old spoiler, but it's out there now. And minutes after we posted this article, I happened to get an interview with Tom Holland and asked him to clarify how he got his information. And that's when he said, I literally had a conversation with Kevin like 20 minutes before the Huffington Post interview and he didn't confirm it. I took it upon myself because I thought it would be a good story and it's exploded. So it sounds like he got an okay from Kevin Feige to say it.
Marvel snipers, they're going to get Tom Holland.
Yeah, so I guess it's more Tom Holland's headcanon.
Yeah, the window things, Tom Holland, you are a gift. He is such a squealer that they have not let him read the upcoming Avengers because like they just won't let him because he can't shut up.
Yeah, he's such a big fanboy.
If this is indeed the case here, he just let it out. And of course, Marvel's got to, okay, you know.
So what it sounds like from that update was that he decided, I think that this is where he decided I want to be a superhero, that sort of thing, where he got inspired to be. you know, once he got the powers, that what he was going to do with it. But it wasn't an official Kevin Feige told him. It was when he told Kevin Feige, is that cool? And Feige was like, I mean, there's nothing that says that it isn't, so whatever.
It's too bad he wasn't on Peter wasn't on vacation out in California at the time of Iron Man 1, because I think he could have been the kid on the Ferris wheel with the ice cream cone in Iron Man 1.
And also, with regards to Spider-Man and Kevin Feige, Kevin Feige has confirmed that Miles Morales exists somewhere in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we'll be talking about that more after the movie comes out, because there's a bit of spoiler involved. But this gives me mixed feelings. On the one hand, I love Miles Morales, and I really want him to be in the MCU. But on the other, they've just ripped so much of Miles Morales' characteristics and story wholesale and put it in Spider-Man Homecoming. So it's like, what, we could have just had Miles.
I've been having a hoot reading the current Marvel comics that we go over on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition every week. And the four comics that Agent 2099 is running down is The Amazing Spider-Man. Spider-Man, which is Miles Morales. The Amazing Spider-Man is the Peter Parker with Parker Industries, basically the Tony Stark version of Peter Parker. And then Spider-Man 2099, so a futuristic Spider-Man, and then Spider-Gwen. Dealing with the three Spider-Man titles is just a hoot for me, just sitting down and learning a lot more about the Spider-Verse, the Spider-Man character and everything. So I can't wait to see more of this on the screen and how they adapt it, whether it's Sony or not. And oh, by the way, I did see a news article as well that was linked to us, and we'll have to get in the show notes, that basically said that Sony is taking all of the profits from Spider-Man Homecoming and Marvel ain't getting anything. So that was the deal, that the MCU got to use Spider-Man, the character, in the Civil War and with the greater MCU. But guess who gets to take all the Spider-Man profits home with them? Yes, Sony. So Sony just shored up their box office and, quite frankly, their business model for a little bit doing that as well. So let's move on into some mutants.
Yeah, so Hunt for the Wilder People's Julian Dennison has joined Deadpool 2. Have either of y'all seen that movie?
Nope.
Well, it was directed by Thor 3 director Taika Waititi, and this little kid in it, it was really good. It's on, I think, Amazon Prime, if you want to watch it. And there's a picture, the way that they announced it was that Taika Waititi and Ryan Reynolds both tweeted this picture. It's Deadpool giving this kid a piggyback ride. And I think it's a callback to the poster for Hunt for the Wilder People. So anyway, yeah, this kid's going to be in it. I have no idea in what role, but cool. It's another sort of 6 degrees of Marvel right there, because Taika Waititi directing Thor and directing this and this kid. And anyway,
it's such a shame what happened with Deadpool 2 as well, with the split between Ryan Reynolds and the previous director. And so hopefully Julian can come in and make it a better experience for everybody involved and make Deadpool 2 more of a success than Deadpool, the original movie, was. So looking forward to that. So moving on into X-Men Dark Phoenix, we have some news on Quicksilver.
Yes, 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 yes. One of my favorites. Evan Peters as Quicksilver is going to be in X-Men Dark Phoenix. He's really stolen the show in the previous incarnations, and to not have him, it would be a loss for us. So the fact that really that he's already going to be in it, he's going to be Quicksilver. I'm already now excited for the movie because he's going to be there.
Yeah, we had all that unresolved daddy issue stuff from the last movie to work through. So of course he has to be back.
Mm-hmm. And I just hope he had his leg broken, right? So I hope the leg heals up quickly for him.
Yeah.
Well, we did have some news that dropped this week that actually changed the show notes for this show, and that was on the New Mutants.
Yeah. Rosario Dawson is out and Alice Braga is in. Don't know why Rosario Dawson is, you know, not coming on board. Well, not coming on board anymore, like why she left. But Alice Braga has joined the upcoming X-Men spinoff, The New Mutants, as fan favorite comics character Dr. Cecilia Reyes. So that's something to look forward to.
I mean, on the one hand, Alice Braga is really good. You can see her right now in Queen of the South. There was a new episode yesterday, I think. She's also been in City of God, in Predators, Repo Men, Red Belt, I Am Legend, a bunch of Brazilian movies. And that's kind of one of the issues is Cecilia Reyes is a Puerto Rican American character. Well, she's Puerto Rican. Puerto Rico is part of the United States. Rosario Dawson is Puerto Rican and Cuban in heritage. And Alice Braga is Brazilian. There's this kind of perception with minorities that we're interchangeable. Like there was this huge, huge, huge controversy when the movie Selena came out because Jennifer Lopez was cast as Selena. Selena was Mexican-American. Jennifer Lopez is Puerto Rican. And there's also a lot of like when Memoirs of a Geisha came out, they cast a Japanese actress as the main character. And anybody who knows history knows that's a very fraught type of thing. And they'll cast, you know, Asians, they're interchangeable to Hollywood as long as you look Asian. Same with Hispanics, same as anybody who looks ethnic. They end up casting a lot of Hispanics as Native Americans, a lot of Italians as Native Americans back in like the 50s and 60s. So while I love Alice Braga and I look forward to seeing what she does, it's just like, come on, Hollywood. That has been your PSA for the day.
There you go. So it's not just race. So diversity is something, I just have to say this here. Diversity is more than just the color of your skin or your heritage. It's also diversity of thought, which could come within the same race or the same gender or whatever. But the key is to enhance your ability to be creative, to get great products out. You need that diversity of thought. So if no matter where you're thinking of it, if it's in terms of a podcast, if it's in terms of a comic book, if it's in terms of what you do in your daily life, try to seek out that diversity of thought and you will find yourself in a lot better situation than if you didn't. If you're just single-minded of the way that I grew up and that's just what I need to do. Okay. But diversity of thought, it will increase, it will expand your universe. And that's what we're doing all about the comic books and sci-fi and everything like that, expanding your universe. So one of the great things I like about that. We have one last news story of the day, and it's about the next, not the Sony Homecoming, the Spider-Man Homecoming, but it is about Thor Ragnarok. So we get a little special snippet of Thor Ragnarok coming at us, don't we?
Well, someone made an epic 8-bit remake of the trailer to Thor Ragnarok. It is adorable. The music's 8-bit. Watching, you know, the side-scrolling version and seeing like at the end and instead of, you know, it's like the text of the people talking and it's adorable. I had to include it in the show notes so people can just go and watch something that will bring a smile to your face.
That's adorable. I'm going to have to watch it later.
Thanks for bringing that to our attention. All right, that's it for the news for today. We are going to move on to the feedback.
First, at Mr. Paracletes on Twitter said, "Happy Summer Solstice to you too, Stargate Pioneer." Also, hi, Sith Witch Mom, and how you doing, awesome engineering girl? I showed this to my mom. For those who don't know, I was just visiting family. And yes, my mom has figured out podcasts. We were actually listening to an older episode of this very show on a car ride together. So yes, hi, Mom, if you're listening. And she said hello back.
Oh, cool. Hi, Lauren's mom, and I hope that she was listening to a podcast that I wasn't on.
She was, actually. She was listening to our penultimate Luke Cage episode.
Mm. Oh, and by the way, June 21st in the SP household will forever be known as Summer Solstice, not Solstice.
At Digital Soup retweeted us and told us, "I need to get caught up on Legion FX so I can listen. Still working my way through CW Arrow and CW The Flash Universe." Well, whenever you are ready to watch, because yes, that is a lot of catching up to do, and believe me, I know what that's like, we will be here, our back catalog will be here, and we will be there to help you kind of unpack the show, which does need a lot of unpacking.
By the way, Digital Soup is another new podcast on the network. You can check them out at GunnaGeek.com. Some amazing stuff coming from those guys. And look forward to the next episode because it will contain some questions from the rest of the GunnaGeek.com family. And I just have to correct you in your tweet a little bit. I think Michelle will back me up here. It is not the CW Arrow, CW The Flash universe. It's the Berlanti verse, right, Michelle?
Exactly.
I thought we were calling it the Flaroverse. Are we not doing that anymore?
Oh, it's expanded.
Okay.
And there's Supergirl and Legends and Black Lightning. And Berlanti has just spread his seed everywhere.
Ew, clean up after yourself, man. And at Kodiak GWC, Richard said in regards to the Inhumans trailer was meh. Hope the series is better. We agree and same.
Because if it's not, it's going to be a long 8 episodes. Actually, it might be more. I'll have to take a look at the schedule that Haley put together. I don't know if we're going to do a special IMAX screening or not.
I will not be there for that. So I will not be able to see it until it actually airs on TV.
Maybe Michelle can take your place.
Lucky, lucky Michelle.
Yay. Of course. Anything for the team.
We'll see actually what our schedule is like. As it is, we're running hot and heavy with 2 episodes per week for almost the rest of the year, at least till Thanksgiving. So I don't know if we'll actually make it to those IMAX screenings or not. Stay tuned for more information on legendsofshield.com. Thank you very much, everybody, for your feedback. Keep it coming in. If we didn't get your feedback, don't worry. We will attempt to include it in the future. For now, though, it is now that time. So, Michelle, what do you want to do? You want to walk it? You want to skip it? You want to jump rope? How do you want to get out of here?
I want to hop over the taxi cab. Get out of here.
We didn't talk about that. The hop over the taxi. Okay. We're going to hop over the taxi cab on the way out. Thank you, everybody, for watching, for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you downloading. We appreciate you giving that thumbs up on YouTube, and we appreciate those 5-star reviews on your podcatcher. We really do. So if you've given one, we haven't talked about it, go ahead and drop me a line, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com, and I will make sure that we talk about it.
Thank you for everybody who contacts us on Twitter, on Facebook, and YouTube comments. Give us a call. We love to hear your voice. Thank you for sending us news stories, for sending us comments. As we go through Iron Fist, we would love to hear from you, your opinions of the episodes. If you haven't watched before now, we can, you know, watch it along with us. So
I have a great idea. I think from now on that people should give us a rating on 1 to 10 of how many drugged cups of tea that they have to drink to get through the episode.
I like that.
So there you go. There's your feedback push there on a scale of 1 to 10. How many drug cups of tea do you need to get through the episode? All right. Michelle, thank you so much for stepping in at the last minute because Haley didn't find out until a couple of days ago that she wouldn't be here tonight. So thank you very much for offering to be here with this premiere episode of such a great Marvel series, Iron Fist.
Thank you for having me on. It's kind of nice to know that some of my thoughts are similar to others, that because sometimes it's like, is it just me? And also, thank you for going through Legion. I love watching Legion and hearing you guys talk about it. It sort of like helps me digest it again because it is a very complex show and it's so good.
Second watch through with Legion is phenomenally better. We're still picking up on stuff. There's still stuff that we don't understand, but second watch through is much better than the first. So kudos to FX for putting together that series, which mandates you watching twice. All right. So that's it for this time. We will be back on Sunday talking about the next episode of Legion, episode chapter 4, as it's called. And next Thursday, we will be right back here talking about the next episode of Iron Fist. So until then, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Michelle.
Yes.
Let me introduce you to Lauren. Lauren, this is Michelle.
We've recorded together before.
I just wanted to make sure because I've been known to jump right into things without introducing people before.
Yeah, we've done this a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're feeling better, Lauren.
Thank you, so am I.
So, like, I'm tired for a little different reason because I've been playing Persona 5. And it's a very long game and yes. I'm enjoying it. But I'm determined to finish it like this weekend. So I've been playing it regularly and I've been giving myself, you know, time. I want to go stop here, blah, blah, blah. And then it says, oh, the story is going to progress a little quickly right now, you know, save. And I'm going, oh, okay. I'm at that point in the story where I'm going to be making a lot of decisions and okay, I'll make the decisions because I'm in this questioning thing. I'll answer her questions, save, and then that'll be it. What it didn't say, the game was, it really meant the story's going to progress quickly for the next hour and a half, and you won't be able to save until you're an hour into it.
So yep, that sounds right.
I triggered this hour-long event, and it's like, I could stop, but it's like, I am not going to start this over because I would have had to have, like, it's like, no, but it's still really good.
Yeah, but Scott's been playing it, but he's been taking a break from it recently. I've been playing Horizon Zero. Well, I just started Horizon Zero Dawn, and then I took this trip to go visit family.
Mm-hmm. How is that? I keep hearing different things about it.
Okay, well, I'm not very far in. It's very pretty, and I've been having so much fun hunting creatures and machines. I've barely done anything with the story, but I'm just like, yay, hunting.
Ah. I've been thinking about playing Nier because I've heard that, yeah, you fight and stuff, but the story is very interesting and that you should replay it a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that too.
That the story changes because, you know, hey, it's great if you want to like go around and hunt things and stuff, which I'm glad, Lauren, you're having that time. Like, I'm really glad video games can do that. But I also kind of, I need a story. I need an experience. So that's why I was thinking about Nier, because I keep hearing the story is really interesting because it, like, even the gameplay changes when you play it again.
Yeah.
And then, Lauren, you can take Jessica Henwick, and then Michelle, you take...
Yeah, right, I will. Come on, she's pretty.
Yeah. Today is National Parchment Day. Today is also National Almond Butter Crunch Day. National Camera Day, National Waffle Iron Day, and National Handshake Day.
Can it be Bourbon Day again?
June 16th every year, Lauren.
Really? Lauren, come on. Every day can be Bourbon Day.
This is true.
Which I haven't heard if Haley has opened her bottle yet, so we'll see what she thinks of bourbon.
Oh, gosh. Lauren, your reaction to the, what do you think of the Inhumans trailer? Scrap!
I've been thinking about going to Hawaii next summer or next winter because of this.
Oh, it's fun. It's beautiful. The food is wonderful.
Well, you know, I've been there quite a bit, right? So, yeah.
Go again.
What's your favorite island? I think we've had this discussion before.
I really liked Maui, and I really liked Kauai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oahu has its own qualms.
Sorry, it was Oahu, not Maui. Wait, no. It was Maui, yes. Maui and Kauai.
Yeah. Oahu, like if it's your first time to Hawaii, I could see going to Oahu because there's a bunch of stuff to do there, right? So you have Pearl Harbor, the Arizona, you have the Polynesia Cultural Institute.
Yeah, we did those.
Waikiki Beach. There's just a bunch of stuff to see in Oahu. But then Maui
it's touristy, but Maui is gorgeous. Yeah. And then the Big Island has, you know, it's interesting, but it's Maui was just gorgeous.
Kauai is my favorite just for tropical paradise. And
yes.
Don't forget the Big Island, the actual island of Hawaii.
It had some cool stuff there. We went to that village that was destroyed by the volcano a few years ago. Yeah, I got to do some more cleaning tonight. We have my best friend's coming into town for her birthday. We're going to make her a hero cake from Batman versus Superman. Have drowned horses on it.
I think we're going to watch that this weekend. Well, I convinced the ladies of the house to watch Superman or Man of Steel first, because you have to have that context going into Batman versus Superman. And Batman versus Superman is, of course, everybody wants to watch it because of Wonder Woman. And like, well, okay, but to understand the context of that, you got to go back to Man of Steel. So it's not just a let's watch this, because you're not going to honestly. Think about if you just went in to see Batman versus Superman, would you be able to put Bruce Wayne's anger in context?
Yeah, because it's really from Batman's point of view. You see the whole destruction and everything. So really, Superman, if you just watch Batman versus Superman, Superman is this guy who destroyed a bunch of buildings and he's possibly a dick, so.
Yeah, but then it makes the reconciliation later on difficult to really understand. You're not humanizing Superman.
It was pretty, did not work in the movie as it was.
No, so. True.
No.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Woo!
Hey!
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.